Here are the WGXC headlines for Thursday, March 23rd. The Muslim holy month of Ramadan began at sundown on March 22nd, as the faithful began a month of dawn-to-dusk fasting intended to bring them closer to God and to remind them of the suffering of those less fortunate. The Federal Reserve raised its key interest rate by a quarter point on March 22nd, despite concerns that higher borrowing rates could worsen the banking turmoil. Only 9 U.S. senators voted March 22nd not to continue congressional authorization for the use of military force in the global fight against terror, which has been in place since shortly after the September 11, 2001 attack. State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli said March 22nd that the village of Coxsackie is under, quote, moderate fiscal stress, unquote. In Jewett, in Greene County, the town board last week approved a six-month moratorium on new solar-powered projects while they consider their current solar laws. And Wyndham's new ambulance headquarters are almost complete.
Hi, this is Terry Manning, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
I'm Ro in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy show for you this morning. We're going to hear about a protest in Albany this week. People want banks to stop investing in fossil fuel companies and turn around the climate crisis. We're also going to hear some slang from local teens. We're going to hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. The local news is next.
Waves controlled.
Can find out about so many local events like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Starbuck of Columbiaville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, March 23rd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Raymond Pignone reports in Columbia Green Media that in Philmont there's a battle over the environment with a resolution to disband the village's Climate Smart Task Force. On March 13th, 30 climate-denying conspiracy theorists presented a draft resolution asking about dissolving the Climate Smart Task Force. Only a trustee can introduce a resolution in Philmont, though. Michael Richardson of the activist group Rivers and Mountains Green Faith said of the folks offering the resolution, quote, of those 30 people, many of them were not from Philmont. Many of them were from Stand Up Massachusetts, an extreme libertarian group from Great Barrington, and Neighbors to Neighbors, unquote. The resolution seems to deny the fact that burning fossil fuels is changing the climate. The right-wing environmental groups are mobilizing elsewhere in Columbia County. Neighbors to Neighbors, Smarter New York Energy, and the Empire Center for Public Policy hold a New York State Climate Act town hall on March 26th at the Columbia Green Community College, hosted by Columbia County Clerk Holly Tanner with former State Senator Daphne Jordan, both Republicans. Richardson said the event is, quote, like the Marlboro Man telling you that if you smoke these cigarettes, you'll turn into a cowboy, unquote. Read more about this story in Columbia Green Media. Porcupine Soup reports that the village of Hunter won't provide the election results, but they say Alan Higgins defeated incumbent Mayor Michael Papa in the March 21st election. Higgins resigned, and Papa ran for his seat a few years ago and won, but Higgins was not happy with Papa's term and called him a bully in his campaign to retake the seat. The town also says Jason DeLeo got more votes, they don't say how many more, than Tyler Keheller and Abraham Stefanski to take the Board of Trustees seat in Hunter. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County residents told their legislature on March 21st that they need affordable housing. Katrina Hauser moved to Kingston with her mother in 1974 and said, quote, I'm a lifelong resident with nowhere to go, with an income to pay rent, but the rent's too high for me to pay it, unquote. Kingston resident Ann Ames said, quote, the gentrification and displacement has gotten way out of hand. There is no housing. People don't have any place to go, unquote. The 2021 Ulster County Housing Plan backs up these stories with statistics. The report said that the average wage earner in Ulster County has to work at least 67 hours a week to avoid being considered, quote, rent burdened, unquote, which is defined as spending more than one-third of one's income on housing costs. Ulster County legislators are expected to vote on the new law to help the affordable housing crisis in April. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Soup that Kara Durham High School has a new principal. David Proper was appointed by the Kara Durham Board of Education on March 9th as interim principal at the high school. Former high school principal Jeremy Moore resigned February 16th due to personal reasons, with officials providing no explanation. Proper comes from 23 years in the Coxsackie Athens Central School District, serving there as vice principal and athletic director for 10 years and the middle school principal for his last 13 years. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, March 23rd. Local early morning temperatures range from a surprisingly mild 41 degrees in Steventown to 50 degrees in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 41. We can expect a steady rise in temperature today to 61 degrees at 6 p.m. We'll also get scattered rain all day long. Winds kick up this afternoon and get stronger overnight, reaching the mid-teens in terms of miles per hour. Rain ends by midnight and temperatures drop to 38 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry, a bit windy with a high of 51. Overnight, a dip to 34 degrees is expected, then looks like snow. But don't fret, should be just a dusting. That gets washed away before most people wake up anyway on Saturday. At about 9 a.m., it turns to a mix with some possible sleet. Then by 11 a.m., it should be all rain and stay that way for the rest of the day. Temperatures will climb to 40 degrees by dark. Overnight, light rain lingers, and so does the temperature, reaching 41 degrees. And on Sunday, we get a classic spring day. It will be dry, sunny, windy, with gusts predicted and a high of 53. Today's river temperature will be 40 degrees. Today's tide strength is high. Sunset today will be at 6:56 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:50 a.m. Looking way up, we see G1 and G2 class watches are up as we expect that plasma stream to show up. Solar wind speed is currently 465.1 kilometers per second at 13.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 60 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 81, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Our banking system is sound and resilient with strong capital and liquidity. We will continue to closely monitor conditions in the banking system and are prepared to use all of our tools as needed to keep it safe and sound.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell sought to reassure consumers after the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, the nation's second and third largest bank failures on record. Powell also announced another quarter point interest rate hike, even as some financial experts claim high interest rates contributed to the bank failures. Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw testified before the Senate Commerce Committee Wednesday following the recent derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, which filled chemicals in the air, water, and soil. Shaw reaffirmed his company's committed to continue cleanup efforts and help area residents.
Today, I'm able to share more about our plans. We're in the planning stages of developing a long-term medical compensation fund, a property value assurance program, and a longer-term water testing program.
At a Senate committee meeting, Moderna CEO Stéphane Bancel defended the company's decision to significantly increase the price of its COVID shots to $130 when they start to be sold on the private market this fall. Moderna had been charging the U.S. government $26 per dose. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders pressed the CEO.
Quadrupling the price is huge, and I would hope very much that you will reconsider that decision. It's going to cost the taxpayers of this country billions of dollars.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul got into a heated exchange with the CEO over COVID-19 vaccine side effects relating to myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart muscle.
Spoke with your president just last week, and he readily acknowledged in private that, yes, there is an increased risk of myocarditis. The fact that you can't say it in public is quite disturbing.
Bancel refused to acknowledge the study cited by Paul, but did respond, saying scientific data shows those who take vaccines are less likely to develop myocarditis versus those who contract COVID-19. New York Representative Jamal Bowman and creators of the popular social media app TikTok held a news conference at the Capitol in support of free expression, as President Biden and congressional leaders increasingly called the Chinese-owned app a national security threat. Tiffany Yu is a disability advocate and TikTok creator.
TikTok has really been a game changer for me. It's allowed me to reach new audiences, millions of people, unlock new ways to generate income to support my advocacy, and empower an entire group of disability advocates to find their voice and build their careers.
Lawmakers continue to push for a nationwide ban of the app or force TikTok's owners to sell. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The financial sector is by far the largest campaign contributor to federal candidates. With the help of money and politics tracker OpenSecrets.org, we'll be looking at the money banks and their associations spent on candidates and lobbying in the U.S. House and Senate over the last 2 years. OpenSecrets reports that since 2021, the banking sector spent almost $59 million, with 59% of it going to Republicans and 41% to Democrats. This includes Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Representative Maxine Waters, who took and are now giving back contributions from Silicon Valley Bank. In fact, Schumer is the number three ranked recipient of campaign contributions from the banking sector. Then there's the lobbying expenses. Since 2021, commercial banks and their army of 455 lobbyists spent over $64.8 million in lobbying. Of the 455 lobbyists, 309 of them are former legislators or federal employees, called the revolving door. Just how bad is the influence? The Charlotte News and Observer reports that Chair of the House Financial Services Committee, Patrick McHenry, attended a $1,000 a ticket fundraiser in the New York boardroom of Signature Bank just 10 days before its financial collapse to benefit his congressional campaign. March 29th, he scheduled an oversight hearing to review the collapse. We have articles and resources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
What? Radio.
Radio. Yep. Happy. Boing.
Randall Martin and
Pastor Kim, your perpetual optimist. All right. So, yes, this is Pastor Kim and
Tuli, Aleva, Stella.
And we are
Chick-Chat.
Yes, we are Chick-Chat, beloved. Our next segment, which is the slang word of the day. Actually, we have two slang words for today, right?
Yeah.
So what's the first one we want to talk about?
The first one we want to talk about is low-key. I'm not sure if we brought it up before, but we are now. And basically, low-key is talking about how something's, like, set down or, like, lower than other things. Like, if you want to talk about how pretty someone's skirt is, but it's not that pretty, you would say it's low-key pretty. Or if you want to say, like, a painting is really nice, but maybe you don't like the color, then you would say it's low-key nice. Like, it's something that you just kind of let out if you don't really feel like it's all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's low key.
Really chill.
It's really chill. I'm trying to think of a sentence.
Her new shoes are low key fire.
Okay, got it. All right, so thank you, Tuli. We got our next slang word of the day. What is that?
The slang word is flex. It means to, like, show something off or, like, brag about something that you have, no one else might have. Yeah.
Okay. So how could you use flex in a sentence?
Showing off the money. I don't know.
Okay. How about another sentence?
I'm flexing off my new shoes.
Flexing off my new shoes.
Or, like, he's flexing off his new watch. Things like that.
Okay. So you just flexed your new hair.
Oh.
Yes. Looking kind of cute over there with your new spring hairdo. All right. So we have low-key and we have flex to add to our slang dictionary. We won't keep working on that one. Well, listen, it was a pleasure to have you. We had two new guests with us today, Aleva and Miss Bella, to join us for Chick Chat.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
200 faith leaders and other climate activists demonstrated in downtown Albany on March 21st, part of the National Day of Action, to call on major banks to stop financing the expansion of the fossil fuel industry. The Day of Action came the day after the IPCC once again warned that the world was running out of time to avoid climate collapse due to the continuing inadequate response by political and economic leaders following the Paris Climate Accords in 2015. The rally and march was among the more than 100 events taking place nationwide organized by Third Act. The main local sponsor was River and Mountain Green Faith, with several dozen co-sponsors. The groups marched to J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, three of the worst culprits in downtown Albany. In part one of our coverage, we hear from four speakers, starting with John Seekwood.
Today's action is one of 100 actions taking place across the United States. A National Day of Action was called by Third Act. We're basically targeting the four worst U.S. banks, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, and Citibank. We're going to visit three of those banks today. How come we're not going to Citibank? Because they don't have an office in Albany. But I promise you that Rivers and Mountains will make sure that we get to them someday, somehow, somewhere. So rest assured on that. You know, they say if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you should do is stop digging, literally in this case. Well, you know, we find ourselves in a very deep hole, the hole of climate chaos, and the banks just keep on digging. So our demand for today is you gotta stop. And just as a point of information, ASBC, which is the largest bank in Europe, has already agreed no more oil and gas projects. They're not going to finance any more. So if they can do it, these banks can do it. Among other things today, we're going to be emphasizing the moral imperative to stop the climate crisis, stop funding the climate crisis. You know, it really, if you think about it, it's immoral to steal the future from young generations, and it's immoral to put impossible conditions on frontline communities and to undermine the actual web of life that we all depend on. That's immoral. And that's why today you're going to be hearing from faith leaders, from members of the youth movement, and from members of frontline communities. And we're also going to be delivering a letter that's addressed to the CEOs of the three banks. Reverend John Parlberg, he's going to provide us with an invocation. Reverend Parlberg is a retired pastor in the Reformed Church in America.
Because the planet is in peril, people are suffering, and we feel compelled to do something about it. And we must act now. What we do or fail to do in the next few years could well determine the future of the planet for the next several thousand years. We are the first generation to feel the effects of climate change, and maybe the very last generation that is able to do something about it. That is a profound moral challenge. And many of us also believe it's a profound spiritual challenge. And that's why I've been asked to offer a brief prayer this afternoon. And for those who are willing, I invite you to join in prayer with me. Help us renew the face of the earth. Come, Creator Spirit, Holy One, Giver and Sustainer of life, we give you thanks for this earth, our island home, and for all in it that is lovely and pure, for all that speaks to us of your goodness and your wisdom, for all the gifts that supply our needs, delight our senses, and feed our soul. Come, Creator Spirit, help us renew the face of the earth.
President and one of the co-founders of Third Act, and that is Vanessa Arcara, who lives in the area.
Along with Bill McKibben, I helped co-found Third Act, which is an organization, a movement home for Americans over 60, working hard to protect our climate and to safeguard our democracy. And we're here today, us and thousands of us, taking action today across the country, out in the streets, because we deeply love this world, this fragile, beautiful place that sustains all of our lives, all of the lives of every person and every creature, every living and still feature in this achingly good place that we've inherited. We're here because we're used to thinking of the Exxons of the world as being at the heart of the climate crisis, yeah? And they are. But now we know that they're joined by the biggest U.S. banks, Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, who issue enormous loans to fund the expansion of the fossil fuel industry. Since the Paris Climate Accords were signed not that long ago, these four banks alone have issued a combined $1.2 trillion to support and underwrite the expansion of the fossil fuel industry. If it's wrong to wreck the planet, it is wrong to profit from that wreckage. If it's wrong to wreck the planet, it's wrong to profit from that wreckage. So our message for the four biggest U.S. banks today is very simple. Stop profiting from the expansion of fossil fuels, or we will stop banking with you. So here's some good news for us and also for the banks. Their business model, unlike the Exxons of this world, is not premised on digging up and burning hydrocarbons. That's not what they do. And so they can discontinue pumping billions of dollars into expanding fossil fuels. They can change their investment strategies. They can choose a different path. That is within their reach. And indeed, other international banks have done this. So this is what we're here today to do, to send a message loudly, clearly, to these banks that they have a responsibility to their customers to bank on the future, to bank on the land, to bank on our kids, to remind them that this is not only imminently possible, but it's necessary. And that if they, now especially, they cannot turn around and fail the rest of us. We have an outsized role to play in this story, and we're going to keep pushing hard. We're going to be planning work and actions and escalations that are beautiful and bold and relentless.
The group's first stop was at J.P. Morgan Chase. We hear again from John Sequit.
The distinction of being the very worst. Chase Bank is the world's biggest investor in fossil fuels, spending $382 billion since the Paris Climate Accord of 2015. Chase actually increased its investments in fossil fuels from 2020 to 2021 by $10 billion. We're going to hear from a representative of the youth movement, Xanthi Thaimal. Xanthi is a student at the University at Albany, and she's an active volunteer with Zero Waste Capital District.
Everyone wish me a happy early birthday. I'm turning 22 next month. I've got to be honest, though, it shocks me. I feel much, much older than 21 or 22. I've got my whole life ahead of me. I pay way too much attention to our changing climate. I spend too much of my time questioning our institutions and worrying about the future to be someone in their early 20s. Now, I've had people come up to me and apologize for this. I want to tell you all, climate change is not your fault. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I have hobbies, I have friends, I have passions. I find happiness in spite of my stress and the uncertainty of my future. My youth might look different from yours, but I don't want your apologies and I don't want your pity and I don't want your guilt. All of those are immobilizing feelings. I want your action. Again, climate change is not your individual fault, but it is all of our responsibilities to do something about it. We need to discuss now more than ever what Chase Bank invests our money in, because it is our money that they invested $51 billion into the fossil fuel industry in 2021 alone. Chase, among all other banks, tops the list in funding a pollutive, dangerous, and obsolete industry of fossil fuels. The future is here, and the next generation is telling you that the future is renewable energy, good green jobs, and sustainable investments. Chase has had more than enough time to get with the program. Now it's our turn to stop lending our hard-earned cash to them.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not that easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things, and people tend to pass you over 'cause you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky. But green's the color of spring, and green can be cool and friendly like, and green could be big like an ocean, or important like a mountain, or tall like a tree. When green is all there is to be, it could make you wonder why, but why wonder, why wonder? I'm green, and it'll do fine, and it's beautiful, and I think it's what I want to be.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. The public still does not know some election results from voting in village elections on March 21st. One update in Chatham, the trustee election for two seats is a bit unusual. Peter Minahan got the most votes with 157. Brandon Gaylord received 55 votes. But Ralph O'Mara Garcia received 124 write-in votes to take the second seat. Voters are still waiting for results from Hunter in Greene County and Kinderhook, Philmont, and Valencia in Columbia County. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that prison officials across the state are still regularly putting prisoners in solitary confinement a year after New York enacted laws to prevent the prolonged solitary confinement of inmates. Putting people in solitary confinement for extended periods has long been viewed as torture, but prison officials are violating the new rules, according to a report by the Correctional Association of New York, an independent organization authorized to monitor prison conditions. The group found there has been, and I quote, numerous departures from basic adherence, end quote, to the Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement Act, which took effect last year after being signed into law in March 2021 by former Governor Andrew Cuomo. The report found that some inmates are being held in isolation in special housing units for, and I quote, six times the legal limit, end quote. Some people not allowed in solitary confinement because of the new rules still are being held in solitary confinement, including those age 21 or younger and 55 or older, or who suffer from mental, medical, or physical disabilities. Individuals being held in, and I quote, residential rehabilitative units, end quote, transitional disciplinary units are supposed to get 6 hours of, and I quote, out of cell, end quote, programming and an additional hour of recreation, but often are not allowed out or are held in restraints. The report wants the Corrections Department to, and I quote, publicly articulate explanations for its lack of adherence to or full implementation of each of HALT's requirements and outline steps that can be taken now to follow the law's requirements, end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. Nancy Kern in Columbia Green Media checks in with two local banks about what they are doing after two large U.S. bank failures in the past 10 days. Share prices of three of the publicly held community banks of Green and Columbia counties have dropped, with the Bank of Greene County stock value down 12.7% and a 9.7% loss at Pioneer Bank and a 4.2% loss at Community Bank. That's somewhat better than some larger banks such as Citigroup and Wells Fargo, where stock values have fallen 8-14%. Bank of Greene County President Donald Gibson listed some of the differences between his bank and the ones that failed, saying, and I quote, "They didn't have a diversified customer base and didn't have a well-balanced portfolio," end quote. SunMark Credit Union President Frank DeGraw said, and I quote, "In the days since the news of Silicon Valley Bank's collapse, we have not seen an outflow of deposits from SunMark Credit Union. Our membership is far more diverse, and we are structured very differently than the banks that are failing. Our members understand that we are a strong financial institution that has successfully weathered significant market challenges over our 85-plus years and have confidence in their relationship with us," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The New York State Department of Transportation is closing one lane of the Taconic State Parkway in each direction between Exit 80 at State Route 82 and County Route 10 in the town of Taconic beginning at 7 a.m. March 22nd through 5 p.m. March 24th to work on bridge maintenance. Fines are double for speeding in a work zone, motorists are warned. Convictions of two or more speeding violations in a work zone could result in the suspension of an individual's driver's license. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ann Aker with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Thursday, March 23rd. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Citco in South Caro has gas for $3.39 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is forecast to be low on Thursday, just a 14. The UV index is also in the low category, just a 2 on Thursday with cloudy skies forecast. The water temperature in the Hudson River is approaching 42 degrees. Over the past 10 years on March 23rd, it's averaged about 39.5 degrees. So we are about more than 3 degrees warmer than usual in the Hudson River right now. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 40% chance of showers on Thursday, mainly after 10 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies are forecast with a high of 57 and a southwest wind 8 to 14 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tonight, there is a continued 40% chance of showers, mainly before 11 p.m., with clouds in the sky and a low around 33, and a northwest wind 14 to 21 miles per hour for those windmills. Friday should be cloudy with a high of 45 and a northwest wind 10 to 14 miles per hour. And Friday night, again, there's a 30% chance of snow showers after 5 a.m. in the early morning with cloudy skies and a low around 30. And Saturday morning, rain, snow, freezing rain, sleet, it's all possible in the morning as it warms up and turns to all rain. There should be a high of 39 on a cold and wet Saturday. 100% chance of precipitation of some sort falling on Saturday, and a low around 37 Saturday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. All right, here is 2022 new music from U.S. Girls, or Us Girls, depending on how you want to pronounce it. The song is called So Typically Now on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
perfectly now. I'll send you an image if you would just come down. Traders with lungs, they run this show. So you sold off your condo. You're shutting it down, not drugging it out. You always get what you want, though. You under duress, I'm freaking out. Yeah, I'm changing my passwords. Gotta sell them my best, but I'm on that list. See you someday in heaven. You need a time out. Ask and you shall receive. Then you find out it's all that you really need. Kingston's booming, ripping out my roots. What the hell am I doing? I moved upstate, so typically now I sent you an image. You sent me a thumb down. Traders with lungs, they run this show. So you sold off your condo. You're shutting it down, not drugging it out. You always get what you want, though. You under duress, I'm freaking out. Yeah, I'm changing my passwords.
About this, Harry, you can come on in, and you can blow now if you want to. I'm through.
The great Amy Winehouse. That was from her first album, which was called Frank. And boy, I just think she was an amazing talent. The movie biography of her life is going around right now. It's simply called Amy. And if you're a fan, it's tragic for sure, but a great look at her talent.
Here's Sonic Youth with Antenna.
Thank you. happy.